Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? During World War II, the Nazis decided to allow the Allied POWs to have some board games to pass their endless months in confinement. Learning this, the British government conspired with the makers of the popular game Monopoly to smuggle into the prison camps escape kits that were cleverly hidden throughout the board games. For instance, within the stacks of Monopoly money was real German and French currency. Silk maps of the German countryside were concealed within the box, and the compass and a metal file were hidden in the playing pieces. These clever Monopoly escape kits helped several prisoners escape during the war. Did you know Jesus is in the business of helping prisoners escape from their bondage? Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
We sure enjoyed doing this with you, friends, a Bible study around the world. And if you have a Bible question, we have phone lines. It's a free phone call. You can call in with your question, and we will do our best to find the answers together, searching God's book, the Bible. That phone number one more time. We have some lines open. Are you ready? 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. We'll bring you into the studio, and keep a pencil ready. We'll be giving you some exciting websites and also another number where you can request our free resources. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Good evening, listening friends and Pastor Doug. As usual, let's begin the program with prayer. Dear Father, once again, we want to invite your presence to come and be with us as we study the Bible. We do pray that you would guide our hearts and our minds into a deeper and fuller understanding of what your word says. Be with those who are listening, wherever they might be. And we pray, Lord, that as we study together, you would help to make clear the way that leads towards heaven. Mm-hmm. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Doug, you opened the program by talking about a rather interesting, very little known fact that during the Second World War, the makers of the game Monopoly put in these little compass and various other things that were necessary to actually help people escape. Now, we had spoken just before the program, we were wondering, well, it's one thing to have all of these things in the game, the board game, but somehow word must have gotten out to the prisoners that there were useful resources for them inside the game.
So they would learn. Well, I think probably the first time they began to play with the game, they noticed that there was some real currency hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And then they suspected that the British Red Cross had been working with the government the Red Cross might not have even known it. But in these gifts that they gave all the POWs, that there were other things. And maybe then they started to explore the lid of the box and the pieces, and they found mm-hmm. the compass, and they found the file and all these things. And it actually worked. Some prisoners were able to escape. And then, of course, that's a segue into Jesus helping people escape from prison. But it's a different kind of prison. The devil has a POW camp in this world. He's kidnapped the planet, and there's a war going on between good and evil. And Jesus, when he began his ministry, he stood up in his hometown church of Nazareth, and Jesus opened to the Old Testament Bible verse, Isaiah 61, verse 1, and here's what Jesus quoted, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." By the way, that's what Christ means, the anointed. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound." And through the Bible, we see cases where Jesus brought people out of prison. Like Joseph. One day he went from the prison to the palace. And you can also see where he takes Esther and he brings her from the prison to the palace. And Daniel, goes from being a captive to prime minister. And then he takes the disciples and he opens the prison doors on three different occasions. Acts chapter 5 and Acts 16 and Acts 12, angels come and open the prison doors so they can continue preaching. And Jesus wants to open your prison door, friends. Maybe you've been bound by some chains of sin. We all have habits and things that weigh us down. And Jesus came into the world to give you the tools in his word and through faith in him to break those chains and to escape. If you'd like to know more how to have that new life and how you can make it to his kingdom, then we've got a free study guide or a free book for you tonight.
The book is entitled Three Steps to Heaven, and we'll send that to anyone who calls and asks for it. The number to call for our resource line is 800-835-6747, and you can ask for the book Three Steps to Heaven, practical steps that can be taken to lead one closer to Jesus and to that promised home for the redeemed. Again, the book is entitled Three Steps to Heaven, and the resource line is 800-835-6747. And friends, if you're close to your computers this evening, you can join us here in the studio by going to live.amazingfacts.org. That's live.amazingfacts.org. We are streaming the program this evening. Well, Pastor Doug, we ready to go to the phone lines?
All right. We'll see what happens.
Our first caller this evening is calling from Newfoundland, and we have Leila Donda who is calling. Leila Donda, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I would like to talk about if I will get into heaven.
Now, get real close to your phone, because you're all the way up there in the northern country. And what was your question?
I would like to know if I am accepted to heaven, because I have killed a lot of men at war.
Well, the question would be, will there be anyone in heaven that was a soldier that had to kill people during battle? And the Bible tells us that you will have people in heaven like Samson, like David, like Gideon, like Jephthah. They're all mentioned in in Hebrews chapter 11, that they'll be among those who are saved. And they also were soldiers that needed to fight to defend their country. So even if a person is guilty of murder and it's not during war, you know, the Bible tells us that God can forgive all kinds of sin, and there are even people who are guilty of murder. Moses murdered somebody. Of course, he was trying to help people escape from prison. But King David killed a friend, and God forgave him when he genuinely repented. So I'm sure that if the Lord can forgive them, that he can forgive you.
But I have done terrible things.
Well, the Bible says there is only one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that's the unpardonable sin. Every other sin can be forgiven. And, you know, the Bible tells us that there are people who are guilty of murder and killing and adultery and every variety of sin, and the Lord is long-suffering. He is a better Savior than you are a sinner. Now, the unpardonable sin...
I am scared of the devil.
Well, you don't need to be scared of the devil, because the Bible tells us that the one who is in you is stronger than the one who is in the world. And so, if you've got darkness in your life, you invite the light of the world into your heart, and it will drive the darkness away. And so, as you invite Christ in, it chases the devil away. You don't need to be frightened of the devil. If you're a God-fearing person, you don't have to fear anything else. If you don't fear God, you'll end up fearing everything else. But, you know, I have a book I'd like to send you, and it's a free gift, and it's on the subject of the unpardonable sin. We just finished it, and it's called Beyond Mercy. A lot of people are afraid that they've gone too far, and a lot of soldiers come back from war. I had a friend who was a sniper, and he used his skills and had to kill people, and he just, you know, wondered, can I be forgiven? And you, brother, and others who are listening, always people worry, have I committed the unpardonable sin? We'll explain what that is in the book. We'll send you a free copy. It's called Beyond Mercy.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is our resource line, and you can ask for the book Beyond Mercy, and we'll send that to anyone who calls and asks for it. The number to the studio here is 800-463-7297. Our next call is Mark, and Mark is listening in Knoxville, Tennessee. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I know that the Lake of Fire is supposed to burn only for a very short time, but there appears to be some people that is going to burn for at least 1,000 years. In Revelation 19, it talks about the beast and the false prophet.
Right.
They're cast into the lake of fire prior to the millennium, prior to Revelation 20. And then in Revelation 20, after the millennium, it says the devil and them will be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, which seems to imply that the beast and the false prophet had been in the lake of fire all that time.
Well, you know, I might need to take a better look at that, but I think where it says where the beast and the false prophet are, some translations would translate that where the beast and the false prophet are sent. So in other words, the devil is going to the same place where the beast and the false prophet are sent. It doesn't mean that they've been there burning 1,000 years longer, because why would you burn the beast and the false prophet and the dragon 1,000 years longer than the devil?
Right, but why were they cast in chapter 19?
That's an easier question to answer. The chapters in Revelation are not written chronologically. Virtually every chapter in Revelation takes you into the next chapter, and then when you enter the new chapter, it backs up and it covers some of the same material. I know Pastor Ross just got done doing a series on Revelation.
Mm-hmm. You know, often you'll find a theme that's addressed in Revelation, and in Vision the prophet describes various events connected with the subject that he's addressing almost from start to finish, and then a new subject is introduced, and he sort of backs up over some of the previous mm-hmm. time period that was given, and then he deals with that subject and gives certain details. So, as Pastor Doug, you mentioned, Revelation is not written in a strict chronological order.
Yeah, often in the new chapters, they spend some time reviewing what was introduced in the former chapter.
So is the lake of fire before the millennium or after the millennium?
After the millennium. Now, there is fire before the millennium. The fire before the millennium is when it says the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of God, and the wicked are destroyed by the brightness of his coming. But that's more like just the glory of God that destroys the cities. The punishment after the great judgment day that's spoken of in the Bible, sometimes called the great white throne judgment, that's at the end of the 1,000 years.
You know, there's a verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, speaking of the second coming. Peter writes, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burnt up." So this is in the context of the second coming of Jesus. If you like, there is a lake of fire at the second coming of Christ, and then there is a lake of fire at the end of the 1,000 years when the wicked are all resurrected for that final judgment scene. So when Jesus comes, the Bible describes that it's tempestuous about him. He comes with fire and glory and angels, and the wicked are consumed with the brightness of his coming.
Mm-hmm. The fires?
Yeah, the fire of the great judgment, that lake of fire, burns after the 1,000 years. So, and we, if you haven't seen it, Mark, we do have a couple of studies that deal with the lake of fire. One is called, "Is the Devil in Charge of Hell?" And then the best thing we've got is there's a website, and it's called helltruth.com. Everybody out there ought to take a look at that, because there's so much misunderstanding about the character of God. And I think you understand that part, Mark, but it'll also give you more detail about the sequence of when does that lake of fire burn. It's not burning yet, because there's been no judgment day yet. Helltruth.com will give you more information, or the book, "Is the Devil in Charge of Hell?"
The number to call for that resource is 800-835-6747, and you can ask for the study guide, "Is the Devil in Charge of Hell?" We have Allison, who is listening from Long Island. Allison, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I have a rather interesting question I'd like to ask you, if I may.
Okay.
This is personally from, I'm not naming any names, but this is from my own private congregation.
Okay.
And this goes back, a battle we've been going back and forth. But the question is this. Are you considered a whore if you wear makeup? That's it. This is what they say. They have a book on it. And this is what I have. I don't wear much makeup, mind you, but this is how they feel about it. They just want you to wear no makeup.
Well, let me tell you where that comes from, just so everyone listening understands. There are a couple of instances in the Bible where it talks about women of ill repute that disguise themselves with paint. Because sometimes women, especially in Bible times, if they were working, you know, they had small communities. And if a woman was working under that profession, they'd try and disguise themselves. They put veils on. They paint their faces. And you can read where Tamar, by the way, Tamar ended up being an ancestor of Jesus. Tamar put on the attire of a harlot, and she maybe painted her face. Her own father-in-law didn't recognize her. She must have had several coats of paint on, and she enticed him. And then you read about Jezebel, that infamous name Jezebel. I've never met anyone that named their child Jezebel. And Jezebel was this wicked queen, and it says she painted her face to try to seduce Jehu, who had just conquered the kingdom, and Jehu had her tossed out the window. And Jezebel is called a harlot in Revelation. And so that's where you get the connection between Jezebel, painting face, harlot. Now, there's another principle in the Bible. Christian men and women, I think, should be known for cleanliness and simplicity. But that doesn't mean it's a sin to use any kind of cosmetics. I think the key would be, and this is what I share, I think if a person has so much on that people know you have it on, you probably have too much on. I think Christians want to look as natural as possible. If the first thing you notice about somebody is that they're, you know, they got the blue goo and sparkles in there. Pardon me, right. I'm just telling you that, you know, we all have seen people that for whatever reason, they go overboard. And and I think that Christians ought to look neat, clean, simple, and healthy. So, and you know, I bet if you ask 10 different pastors what they think about that, you're going to get 11 different answers. But, you know, Amazing Facts does have a book. We actually have
a
book. Yeah, we got a book that talks about that, and it's written by Joe Cruz, and it's called Colorful Cosmetics and Jewelry. And he just he gives the scriptures and talks about it straight on. And we'll send you a free copy. Anyone out there, I don't think we've offered that in a long time. Anyone out there who would like a free copy, it's a book by Joe Cruz called Colorful Cosmetics and Jewelry. I think we still carry that.
Yeah, I see it right here. To receive that book, just call our resource line. The number is 800-835-6747. And the book that we're offering for free is Colorful Cosmetics and Jewelry. Anybody wanting to know more about what the Bible has to say on the subject? Our next caller is Brandon, and he's listening in Connecticut. Brandon, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Good. How are you doing?
Great, great. I just, before I ask my question, I just want to say that my wife and I really appreciate the ministry of Amazing Facts. It's been a blessing. We felt that we've learned a lot, and if we could find a church around here like that, we'd go to it.
Well, I hope you do, and thank you for the kind words.
Thank you, thank you. My question is on Mark chapter 7, and really dealing with the 19th verse here about clean and unclean food.
Okay.
And basically what it's saying here, Jesus is speaking, and he says, and he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean."
All right, are you reading from the New International Version?
I'm reading from the English Standard Version.
English Standard Version? The original Greek does not say that. In other words, the Textus Receptus, what it says, and I'll read it to you from, for instance, the New King James Version. It says here, "Because it enters not into his heart but his belly, and it goes out into the ditch or the draught, purging all meats." And all it says is purging all meats in the original. And what they're saying is that if you... And first of all, the subject of the whole study, if you read the chapter 7 of Mark, food is never mentioned. In other words, what kind of food is never mentioned? It never talks about sheep or pork or fruits or vegetables. No type of food is mentioned. What they're talking about is eating without washing your hands in fear of contamination from bacteria or something. And Jesus said, you know, you make a big deal about whether or not you ceremonially wash your hands, and that's not what defiles your heart. And so Christ did not make a blanket statement here. And we got to be very careful not to build a doctrine on one verse. Jesus did not make a blanket statement here saying that he doesn't care whether believers eat lots of cholesterol or take drugs because it's what not goes in your mouth that defiles you. Or just eat Twinkies all day long if you can find them anymore. You know what I'm saying? He's not talking about that. What he's talking about is the religious leaders that were arguing with the disciples about whether or not they could eat with ceremonially washed hands. Now, let me give you more proof for that. This is Mark chapter 7. If you go to Acts chapter 10, when Peter has this vision that comes down, it's a sheet that comes down from heaven with all these different animals in them. Understandably, some were probably unclean. And God says, arise, kill, and eat. Peter's talking to the Lord. And this is, 5 years after Jesus made this statement. Peter says, not so, Lord, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. So here you've got Peter, 5 years later, telling the Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. So Peter did not get the idea that Jesus had taught it was okay. And then Peter explains that vision means, do not call any man unclean. He says that himself, because they didn't want to preach to the Gentiles. They were calling them unclean. So we have a study that goes into this in detail, Brandon. If you like, we'll send you a free copy.
Great. That sounds great.
You still there? And
yes.
It's called God's Free Health Plan. Is that right?
That's right. And we'll send that to you, Brandon. If you just call our resource line, we'll send it to you, Brandon, or anyone who calls and asks for it. The number is 800-835-6747. And all you need to do is just let the folks know there on the phone that you're wanting to get the study guide, God's Free Health Plan. Again, the number is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide called God's Free Health Plan. Right. We have Michael, who is listening from Newfoundland. Michael, welcome to the program.
Michael, hi, are you there?
Yep.
And your question?
I was just wondering if you're a Christian and you say geez and you don't mean it to use it in God's vein,
is that inappropriate?
Pardon?
I'm glad you asked that question. It's not just, sometimes people say geez or they say gee whiz or people say gosh darn. And those are all, I hesitate saying it on the radio, but those words unfortunately are legal. Those are all derivatives of saying God's name in vain. In other words, instead of saying Jesus' name, people say gee whiz. And I think a lot of dear people say that and they don't even think about it. But those things are corruptions of, it's a verbal corruption of actually saying the Lord's name in vain. Or when they say, I won't say what it's supposed to be, but when people say gosh all the time, that's a derivative of saying God's name. They just change it a little bit so they can get away with it. And there's all kinds of near misses. But, I think Christians ought to avoid those kind of expletives because Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, we've got a book we'll send you for free, and it talks about reverence for God's name, and it's called The Name of God. And we'll send that to you just for asking.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is our resource line. And as Pastor Doug mentioned, Michael will send you the book talking about God's name. What's the title?
The Name of God.
The Name of God. We'll send that book to anyone who calls and asks for it. The number again is 800-835-6747. I'm wondering, do we have time for... We do. We have three minutes before our break. We'll go to Fred, who is listening from Stanford, Connecticut. Fred, welcome to the program.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about 1 Corinthians 3:17 and whether that makes a reference to suicide.
Well, let me read it for our friends. If any man defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Well, that's interesting. When he talks about this, he's really talking about idolatry and, not caring for your temple. He's also talking about the church as a temple of God. But, you know, it would also be true, Fred, that if a person, you know, certainly if you can defile your temple by immorality or by idolatry, it would definitely be defiling the temple of your body by suicide. And so, you know, if any man defiles the temple, him shall God destroy. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I would think killing your body would be a pretty major step towards defiling it. So it would fit in that category. And I think we all know that, you know, while there may be exceptions, that we all know people who have taken their lives, and it's very troubling when that happens. But for the most part, it's a very dangerous thing if the last act of a person's life is self-murder. God, where there's life, there's hope, the Bible says. So we need to hang on. Does that help a little bit, Fred?
Yes.
Well, thank you. And I'm just wondering, you know what? We need to write something. We get a question. I did an article just recently on the subject of suicide. I think that they can find. Yeah, I did. It's in our Inside Report magazine. If you would like to read what I wrote on that, if you go to the Amazing Facts website and you just type in the subject in the subject box, suicide, I've got a recent article that came out in our magazine on that, because we get that question a lot. And we appreciate your call, Fred.
You know, Pastor Doug, we're going to be taking a break here in just a few moments. And before we take that break, we'd like to let folks know about a website that we have. Now, this one's been around for a little while, and it's simply called marytruth.com. There's a lot of questions that's been asked about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And here is a website dedicated to explaining what the Bible has to say. There's actually a book here that you wrote dealing with the subject called The Mystery of Mary, and folks can order it online.
You know, all around the world, I think we can see statues of Mary. There are churches dedicated to Mary's name, and there's a lot of confusion. Mary was a godly saint, but the Bible's clear she was not God. She's not to be worshipped as divine. And some people understand that, some don't. And if they would like to understand, what does the Bible say about this very unique person that ended up being chosen to bear the incarnation of God? His name was Jesus. And we're going to give you a balanced biblical study on that. We'll send you the book if you request it, or you can read it for free online. Simply go to marytruth.com. If you go to the website, you'll also see a sermon that I presented there on the subject. And I believe this website also has information, since we're on the subject of Mary, of Mary Magdalene. So you'll get two Marys for the price of one. Just go to marytruth.com. We explain a lot of the mysteries that are there. You're listening to Bible Answers Live.
One more website, Pastor Doug, before we take our break, BibleProphecyTruth.com. This is one of our favorite websites that we like to announce on air. Anybody wanting to learn more about what the Bible has to say in its prophetic passages, this is a great website to take a look at. You have questions about the number 666? Well, you can study it here at the website, or Armageddon, or the Great Tribulation, or the Mark of the Beast, and much, much more. Just BibleProphecyTruth.com.
You know, we're excited because when you type in keywords in Google, the most popular sites jump to the top of the Google search. And if a person types in Bible prophecy, this website jumps to the top because it's got so much information. It may not be the top one, but it's up there at the first page or so. And you'll really be blessed as you see all of the interesting subjects. Now, that music doesn't mean we're going away. We're just getting ready to take a little break. We're going to take a drink of water, and there'll be more Bible questions coming your way.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course, or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
We are back, friends, and for those who may have tuned in along the way, you are listening to Bible Answers Live. And if you have a Bible question, we have a couple of lines open. It's a free phone call, 800. You remember the good old days when we used the 800 number? We still do. 800-463-7297 will bring you into the studio with your Bible questions. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Pastor Doug, just before we take the phone lines, you just arrived back from Canada a couple of hours ago now. And you did some speaking, and we did some training.
Yeah, you were there too?
Yeah, Hope, B.C., beautiful little town.
Christian campground up there, spectacular mountains.
Beautiful up there.
And we had thousands of people, about 8,000 people came the last weekend to the program there. And among the things we were doing, you were teaching how to do Bible studies, personal witnessing, mm-hmm. a program we called AFCO, which stands for the Amazing Facts College of Evangelism, sometimes called the Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism. And maybe people would like to know more about evangelism training. They can just go to AFCO. Is it .com or org?
AFCO.com will get you there. Yeah. You go to the Amazing Facts website, amazingfacts.com, and click on the tab that says training, or just type in AFCO.com.
How do you spell AFCO?
A-F. How do you spell AFCO?
A-F-C-O-E. This is a test.
AFCO. Put me on the spot there. I should know how to spell that.
Oh, I'm going to laugh through the second half of this program. All right, who's next?
All right, we're going to go to Will, and he's on the road, and he's in Washington. Will, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing? I'm in Sumner, California, or Sumner, Washington, and I'm from Anaheim, California. And my question is, I listen to Sirius Radio all the time. I'm driving on the truck, so I listen to your show on Sundays, and I listen to other pastors. And I listen to the views of end times, and there are some differences in their views. And in particular, I listened to Hank Hanegraaff, and he's a really good pastor. I've been listening for 20 years, and he opened my eyes to a lot of passages. And I take nothing from you guys. You guys are good, too. You guys should be on more often. But my question is, why don't they debate these pastors with influences like you guys have and him? Why wouldn't you debate the end times that, you know, because there's
I'd
a lot
be
of
happy
people,
to.
I know they're confused.
I know Hank Hanegraaff. We've met. We've talked. And we're friendly with each other, and I'd be delighted to debate a number of issues. Let me tell you real quick, Will, why you run into these. There's three major categories among Christians when it comes to prophecy. Very quick. There is something called the preterist. Hank Hanegraaff is in that category. A preterist is someone who believes that the majority of Revelation and Bible prophecy, it was all fulfilled by the first century. They believe Nero was the beast, and that all these prophecies were really talking about, you know, what the Roman Empire did to the Jews and the early Christians. Then you have the historists. That would be Pastor Ross and myself. That would be Martin Luther, John Wesley, Spurgeon. They were historists. They believed that prophecy covers a panorama of what would happen to the Christian church from the New Testament to the Old Testament. I'm talking about Revelation in particular. From the first coming of Jesus to the second coming. Then you have futurists. And futurists are people like Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye, Left Behind. They think that just about everything from Revelation 4 on is after the rapture and it's in the future. And that's why you keep getting, and we have, you know, it would take a lot more than 3 minutes to explain why we are historists and others are what they are. But I'd welcome an opportunity to debate those things. And show, I think there's a good foundation for the historic view.
Okay, I thank you for your answer there. That was a good one. I have to look it up, and I hope you guys should be on the show, radio more often. You guys are good.
Well,
like
thanks a lot. We'll see what we can do about that.
God bless you guys.
All right, take care.
You have a good one, man.
Bye-bye.
We have Sharon, who's listening in Delaware. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Hi. My question is regarding 1 Corinthians 11.
Okay.
Paul seems to start saying one thing and then he kind of like drifts away and comes back. But in your opinion, should women, when they pray, should their heads be covered?
You know, this is the statement in Paul, where Paul says, and you know, you almost need to read the whole chapter. He's talking about propriety in worship, and he's talking about things that were happening in Corinth in particular, and that for the sake of humility, it was the custom back then that a woman, so that she would not look like the, they had a lot of temple prostitutes in the Roman religions that were scattered throughout Corinth in Greece. And so that the Christian women would not be confused for the temple prostitutes, they would say, always cover your heads when you come to worship if you pray publicly or if you prophesy, if you're going to say anything out loud or do any teaching. And just to distinguish that they were different. Now, I think one of the keys to understanding this was probably a custom is, and you know, I have no burden if a woman feels like she should have long hair and cover her head when she prays, and they're convicted, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. And so I have no burden to change their mind. But Paul, and I forget what verse it is, Pastor Ross, where he says, here it is, verse 16. If any man seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So one thing Paul says, don't be contentious about this. The other thing is he uses the word custom as opposed to a commandment or a law. So they were dealing with, I think, the customs of the time. You still there, Sharon?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you.
You know,
very
we get
much.
That question a lot. We ought to have some kind of an article or book we can send people on that. We've been getting that question for years.
We do.
Good question. Appreciate it. Thank you, Sharon.
We have Chris, who is listening in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good evening. Can you guys hear me all right? You're on
yeah.
Microphone.
I was just in Albuquerque a couple weeks ago. And your question?
Oh, I wish I met you here, Pastor. Anyway, my question is about forgiveness. We are required by God to forgive someone who has sinned against us. And I find that it's really easy to forgive, but to restore the trust is really hard. What does God say about the restoration of trust in connection with the forgiveness, Pastor? Suppose somebody steals from you. Do you have to restore the trust 100% to that person overnight?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Now, when Jesus tells us to forgive, he doesn't say that you have to give that person the same responsibility. You know, if somebody, if you lend them money and they just never pay you back, you can choose to forgive the debt, but you may not lend them money again because you know that they don't, they maybe struggle with that. But you can forgive them. But you can also be wise about it and not keep making the same mistake. Or if you
but what does God say about, he doesn't remember our sins no more?
Well, now,
we're not God.
Jesus is not asking us to forget because you and I, when someone hurts us, we can choose as Christians to forgive them. But that doesn't mean, we all know, we're not going to forget that we've been hurt. Our remembering pain is something God gave us. The reason that you don't touch a hot stove more than once is because that pain is in your memory banks and you don't want to do what hurts you again. As a Christian, you can choose to forgive a person, but it doesn't mean that you've forgotten that they hurt you. You can choose not to dwell on it. And I think Martin Luther used to word it this way. He said, you cannot prevent the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from making a nest in your hair. You might have a fleeting remembrance of what someone has done to hurt you, but you don't have to dwell on it. And if you find yourself dwelling on it, ask God's Spirit to give you grace and think about something else. So it's a conscious choice to forgive a person. It doesn't mean, you know, God casts our sins into the depths of the sea. But does God know everything? Of course he does. Does God know all our sins? Sure he does. He treats us as though we haven't sinned. Because he forgives us when we ask, and that's how we should treat others. We should treat them with mercy. Hey, thank you very much for your question, Chris. And, you know, I'm trying to think, what's that lesson that we've got on the forgiveness of God?
You're talking about
salvation.
Rescue from above.
No.
Rescue from above is the study guide. And Chris, we'll send that to you. Anyone who asks for it, the number is 800-835-6747. And the study guide is Rescue from Above, talking about forgiveness and the forgiveness that God provides for us and how we can extend that forgiveness to others who have done things against us. Our next caller is Joe, and he is listening in Atlanta. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, Doug?
Yes.
Yeah, I was reading your book. Was Sunday was really a worship day by Joe Cruz, and I'm really convinced, or getting convinced, that Saturday was the day where Jesus resurrected and so forth. I'm a truck driver, and I get minister, read, and pray, you know, 7 days a week, which, you know, I have plenty of time to think, pray, read, listen to CDs and so forth to get ministered to.
Uh-huh.
But Saturday, is that a day where we should not work at all? And if that's the case, I don't really have a home in Atlanta, but I just have a mailbox in Atlanta, and I was kind of concerned that maybe, you know, I was telling my friend, maybe I should come off the road, but I've been a truck driver for so long with this company that, you know, it's
well, you know what?
Like,
First, let's talk about the principle, Joe, and then you'll have to figure out and pray about how God wants you to apply these truths to your life individually. First, you need to just ask yourself, do you believe that God wants Christians to still keep the Ten Commandments, not to be saved, but because we love Him? And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And, you know, the other nine commandments, I don't know too many preachers that say it's okay to steal or to lie or to commit adultery or worship idols or use God's name in vain or the others. The Sabbath commandment is actually the only commandment that begins with the word remember. It's still there too, and we mention it a lot on this program because a lot of Christians are sort of rediscovering it. And once you are convinced that you want to obey God, and it might require a struggle and some self-denial, then you're going to have to pray about God giving you wisdom about whether you should talk to your employers and just tell them because of religious convictions you need that day off. But I think everyone knows you need a day of worship, you need a day of rest, and you need to just put aside those business things.
You know, I do know, Pastor Doug, of several truckers who keep the Sabbath, and they've made arrangements with their employee that they don't drive as part of their work on the Sabbath hours, Friday evening to Saturday evening.
Yeah, when they're on the road, they show
they
up at our church.
Yeah.
We have them come to our church. They got sleepers in the back of their truck, and they just hang out with us all day.
Yeah.
So.
And then you guys truck parking there or whatever, they can come to worship with you guys there?
Yeah, well, so they find it nearby. We have some across the street that some of them are also pretty creative.
Yeah. They'll park maybe at a truck stop and, you know, give the pastor a call of a church and ask if there's maybe somebody that could swing by and pick him up if he can't bring his truck over to with the church. It's all kinds of things that people work with. And, you know, it's a blessing for us to be able to see truck drivers on the road who do honor the Sabbath, and they do stop by and worship from time to time. And God blesses them.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a family around the world.
That's
church
right.
Family. By the way, there's a website. A lot of people ask questions about this, so we've developed a website that's just it's the most popular website out there with Sabbath information. It's called Sabbath Truth. SabbathTruth.com. And we encourage you to go there, Joe. You'll find out a lot of information about the history of it. You know, if you look into the writings, I just did it again this week. I read a very interesting study guide that someone else produced. And it showed quotes from Presbyterian, Methodist, Congregationalist, Christian, Baptist, Pentecostal scholars. And they all said, every one of these quotes, biblically, you cannot support Sunday as the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
That biblically, the seventh day, Saturday, is the Sabbath. And so they all know that. And just most Christians go through a tradition that developed from the Roman era. Anyway, go to Sabbath Truth. There's a lot more there, Joe. And we hope to hear from you again and hear how it's going.
Next call is BJ, and he's listening from Tennessee. BJ, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Doug, Pastor Ross. Good evening.
Evening. Get real close to your phone.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. My question was about the marriage supper of the Lamb. I never have really understood that. You know, the way I understand it, you know, that when we're raptured, we'll be taken to heaven for 7 years. And then I thought maybe if you Could you explain that to me?
Well, yeah. First of all, Jesus presented the whole gospel in the context of a marriage. He talked about the parable of the 10 virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom.
Yes,
Jesus talked about John the Baptist as though he was the best man, the friend of the bridegroom. Same thing we call the best man. In the church is to prepare herself as a bride without spot or wrinkle. And the church is the bride of Christ. Revelation 21 shows a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. And then you read about the marriage supper. That was the big feast. You know, Jesus' ministry begins in a marriage. Matter of fact, did you know the Bible begins with a marriage, Adam and Eve? Jesus' ministry begins with a marriage. His first miracle is at a wedding. And the Bible ends with the marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage must be important to God. And so it's the feast, the big wedding dinner is when the redeemed gather and we eat the tree from the tree of life and eat with Christ in the kingdom. And it'll be that big celebration of him with his church, his bride. And so that happens. If you want to understand how that happens in relation to the second coming, we have another book we'll give you, and it's called Anything But Secret. You were asking about the rapture. So we could send you a free copy of Anything But Secret, and we have a study guide called The Bride of Christ that talks about what that church is. You can read them both online for free if you'd like, or we'll send them to you. It's your choice.
The number to call, BJ, is 800-835-6747, and you can ask for the resource Anything But Secret. It's a book, actually. It's a great resource to study the subject out. And then we also have a study guide entitled The Bride of Christ. It talks about the church. And one more, The Ultimate Deliverance, talking about the second coming of Jesus. So if you'd remember those things, call our resource line. That's 800-835-6747. And again, the book is entitled Anything But Secret. And then ask them about the study guide on the Bride of Christ and the second coming, called Ultimate Deliverance, and we'll send it out to you. Our next call is Robert, and he's listening from Atlanta. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. And your question tonight?
Okay. Kind of confusing, so I'll try to explain it as best I can. I'm of one faith. My wife is of another faith. We have a seven-year-old that we know needs to be in church because we know we're responsible for his soul. However, her faith basically will tell everyone that all these other religions out here are not informed properly, they are false, they do not preach the truth, stuff like that. They also preach that, you know, you need to receive the mark of the beast in order to get into the new paradise, which is 666, of course. I want to take my son to church, but it's a conflict between me and her. How do I go about convincing her or doing it without that biblical conflict?
Well, that is a challenge, you know, and this is why Paul tells us that we really need to consider before we get married that we're united in our faith. And I don't know if you were of different religions when you got married, but it doesn't matter. You are where you are now, and you can't unscramble scrambled eggs. So how do we make the best of that? First of all, if you and your wife could agree and say, all right, we have different ideas, but there's only one truth. If you could agree there is a truth, in other words, there's an absolute truth. And if you could say, let's study the Bible together, assuming that you believe that the Bible is the truth, or even if you're not sure of that, study the Bible and say, let's find out why so many people believe it. If you would study together and say, let's go point by point through what we believe, and if you could find unity in your family, not based on compromising, but the best thing is if you can find unity based on conviction. Because if one of you is always compromising, you're going to say, I'm doing this, but I'm dreading it. How much better if you both agreed on your faith? So if you could get into study together.
Well, we've done that. I mean, we've had Bible studies together, but when it goes to that, it kind of becomes a...
Turns into an argument.
Discussion. Well, not really an argument, but a heated discussion because a lot of what she has been brought up to believe in her faith is a lot of the Bible is symbolic. For instance, they don't believe that when you die, you go to heaven. They don't believe that there is a burning lake of fire. Even though the Bible says it, it's all symbolic. they believe that, you know, when you die, you're just dead, and you're going to be waiting for the new paradise to come, and then everybody's going to go to the new paradise.
Well, you know what? I'd like to study with you. So you're asking, now you're asking some questions, not just about marriage and unity in the faith. Now you're asking some of the specific doctrines, and I wish I had some time to answer those one by one with you. Let's, for instance, let you just take that one question about when you die. Some Christians believe you die and you go right to heaven or hell before the judgment or the resurrection. Other Christians believe that the person is actually in the grave unconscious until the judgment and the resurrection. Now, here's what confuses people. For the person who dies saved, their next conscious thought is the resurrection and the presence of the Lord. So for them, it's instant. But historically, it hasn't happened yet. And that confuses a lot of people. That's no reason to get divided over that. I think you can come to an understanding on that. I might recommend, just like on that one point, there's a study guide about death. What happens when you die? What does the Bible say? Robert, I'd invite you and your wife to look at that together.
We have a website dedicated to that subject, too. It's called The Truth About Death. If you just type in deathtruth.com or The Truth About Death, you'll go to the same website. And it's an in-depth Bible study on that important subject. We also have something that maybe, Robert, you and your wife would enjoy. We have a whole series of Bible studies dealing with different important Bible truths and topics. And you can go through this Bible study course for free. If you would just call our resource line, that's 800-835-6747, and ask to be enrolled in the Amazing Facts Bible study course. And we will send you these studies in the mail. And it might be good for you and your wife to sit down and go through them together. Compare it with the Bible.
All right. I appreciate that call.
Our next call is Ed, and he is listening from Minnesota. Ed, welcome to the program.
I'm from Michigan.
Michigan, all right. I couldn't remember what MN
right.
is there
Minnesota
for a minute.
Minnesota's not too far.
He's from South Africa, so he's doing his best.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I think you're a citizen now, though, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Welcome to the family.
I should learn all the states, huh?
All right, your question.
Oh, well. Sometimes I get mixed up about where I live. Anyways, Pastor.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, we were just up in Canada, and they abbreviated CA, and I thought, that's California, isn't it? I got all confused. Go ahead.
Yes. Now you're almost going to make me forget what I was going to say. No, today my friend stopped by on the way back from the UP in Michigan here. And
UP is Upper Peninsula, for those
Upper
that are listening.
Yes. Escanaba, okay. Michigan. And they were, I forget what I was going to say.
The note says you had a question about pigs.
Yeah, the one lady says, we're vegetarians and we own a milk farm, you know. And I says, well, that wouldn't be too bad then if I'm a vegetarian and I raise pigs, you know. And she says, well, you're not supposed to touch pigs. And I says, well, I might call Pastor Doug on that one. But there was over Mackinac City, near 10 minutes from where I live, and they had potbelly pig.
Yeah. All right, run out of time, let me do my best to try. I think I know what you're asking.
So she says, you're not supposed to touch pig. Okay, go ahead. I'd like your opinion.
Yeah, well, in the Bible, it does say pretty clearly in Leviticus. Do you have that, Pastor Ross?
Well, I'm looking at Deuteronomy 14, verse
8. Okay, that's
both
places.
Let me read
that
one. It says, also the swine is unclean for you because it doesn't have, or it does have cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud. You shall not eat their flesh or touch their dead carcasses.
Now, yeah, exactly. So, you know, if a person had a pet pig, now, I don't think I'd want to do that because, of course, pigs are pigs, but... you know, dogs and pigs are both classified as unclean, and a lot of people have dogs. Dogs are literally just as unclean as pigs for food. And in the Bible, because dogs are scavengers. God doesn't intend for us to eat scavengers. But
no,
as a pig.
I'm not eating pig.
But if you have one as a pet or if you touch one, that's different. The main thing was God was saying, don't touch their carcasses because. If a scavenger's flesh has a lot of bacteria, and we all know that pigs carry trichina larvae and all kinds of, you know, well, they live in pigsties. They're not very sanitary. And so how much more when their bodies are decomposing, how contaminating and deadly that can be. But when you know what, I hate to tell people this, there are a whole lot of Bibles out there that are covered with what they call genuine leather. And you may or may not know, a lot of those Bibles are covered with pig hide. And of course, there's pig skin. And that's not, it's not a sin if you got a Bible that's got pig hide on it. It's been, you know, treated, and it's just, I probably ruined a lot of people's Bibles right now telling them that. Hey, friends, we're out of time. This has been a joy. We look forward to studying with you again next week. And we'd love to hear from you. Go to amazingfacts.org. Let us know you enjoy the program. And if you can keep us on the air, we'll be grateful. God bless.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program. And join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us. He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Life's a curious thing. I mean, just when things seem under control, wham, you're hit with something new. Your marriage is good. Suddenly it's on the brink of divorce. That job's great. And then it's gone. And so's your life savings. You feel healthy. Then your doctor gives the bad news. What's coming next? You could look to the stars, but they don't have the answers. But this does. The Prophecy Study Bible by Amazing Facts. This Bible's special. Its 27 personal study guides lead you on a life-changing journey through God's Word to discover real answers to life's questions, from health and relationships to family and the future. The hope's in here.
Get your Amazing Facts Prophecy Study Bible today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com.
Experience Bible prophecy like never before with Prophecy Foundations, the new multimedia platform with 27 unique Bible studies for adults and kids, over 32 hours of Bible teaching video sermons by Pastor Doug Batchelor, the electronic Amazing Health magazine filled with life-transforming health tips, over 160 audio questions and answers, and over 57 books all on one DVD. Go to store.amazingfacts.org.